Chapter 9.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
It had been several weeks since Mace had taken John as his Padawan. Having discussed quietly with his teachers, he knew that John had been adjusting to life in the temple fairly well, with only a few things the various masters reported with hints of a frown bending their faces. He is a very bright child, Master Mace, very bright. Master Vinus hummed softly to himself, nodding his head once, decisively. Although he struggles with fully understanding some concepts discussing political wit, not surprising for him to be completely honest, Master Mace, he is often a very literal child. The Iktachi master chuckled. Just do not expect his future to be one of politics and escorting those of that sort. I imagine he would only get tired of one too many talkative senators and send them out the airlock. Mace hid his own amusement at the thought and inclined his head in an abbreviated bow. But there is something else. Yes, Master Vinus lost the amused curl of his lip, nodding again as he thought. Yes, he is a quiet child, very quiet, and while he is adept at his work, he struggles with the other children. Group work is something I will not push for until sometime from now, I believe. At Mace's raised eyebrow, Master Vinus barked out a laugh that echoed in his quarters unpleasantly. Oh yes, Master Mace. Putting that boy in group work on politics with his peers would only result in disaster, that much I am sure of. Disaster that we cannot afford with him right now. But you are aware of that already, aren't you, Master Mace? At the focused look from Master Vinus, Mace pushed the unease trickling down his spine into the force as best he could, unnerved by the glimmer of knowledge that twinkled in Vinus's eyes. He dipped his head, hands clenched on his wrists under his robe sleeves. I am aware, Master Vinus. The diplomacy teaching master only chuckled again, leaning back in his seat, the foreboding weight of his gaze diminishing when he turned his attention to the cup of tea still in his hands. I imagine so. Pleasantries passed between them. Mace took his leave quicker than perhaps a master of his standing should have, but he knew Master Vinus would not fault him for that. The other master fully well knew his prescience could be disturbing for his fellow Jedi, and did not hold their unease against them. What was more concerning to Mace was the fact that Master Vinus's prescience was practically screaming of the importance of helping John acclimate to temple life. For all his gentle encouragements, John had been struggling with making friends with those his own age. As far as Mace knew, Padawan Kenobi was the only one John was even on a first-name basis with. Musing to himself on the walk back to his own quarters, he made his decision when he stepped into the living room and saw John shuffling flimsy past sheets with numerous calculations splashed over them in an ungainly scrawl. The boy looked up when he walked in, easily saying, "Hello, Master." He even looked back at his homework, taking his attention off Mace as he approached the kitchen. "Hello, Padawan." Mace started some tea, readying a cup of strong red that he knew John particularly enjoyed, and a cup of mellow green for himself to ease another headache. From the opposite side of the table from John, Mace leaned over and placed the cup down, hiding a smile behind his own cup as John perked up at the spicy smell. A slender hand reached out and brought the steaming cup right under his nose, John's other hand loose around the stylus. They both took several moments to enjoy the heat of their respective drinks before taking the first sip. Enjoying the quiet in the room, Mace took his time with his tea, slipping into a light meditation while he listened to the scratching of his Padawan at his homework. It was rare nowadays that Mace ever had time to simply sit and enjoy pleasant company, the Force swirling peacefully around him. An aggressive huff from his Padawan gently brought him out of his trance, and he opened one eye to peer at John, bent over flimsy, furiously scribbling even more complex calculations on the sheet. Mace hit a frown as he caught a better glimpse at the equations. Were those flight path simulations through a gravity well field? Curiosity getting the better of him, he pitched his voice low so as not to startle John, and said, If you wish, I wouldn't mind knowing what you are working on, Padawan. There was barely any flinch at his voice, unexpected as it was, and Mace felt a swell of pride grow in his chest. John pulled the stylus out of his mouth and chanced a glance at him. Mace tried to keep his face open and relaxed as he could. John huffed again and looked back at his work, taking a breath and releasing it before doing it once more. Recognizing it as John working up to answering something other than a direct question, Mace kept himself peaceful in the Force. Master Carrick proposed a theoretical question in class today as a challenge. Fingers tense around the edge of the table, John visibly forced himself to relax. He said something about extra credit if we could solve it. Mace nodded. A known tactic of Master Carrick to draw the interest of his students. And a way to weed out those not suited for the advanced classes, Mace thought silently to himself. Are you enjoying the class? John lifted his head, a hint of a smile on his face as he met Mace's eyes for a moment. Yes, Master, it's interesting. He seemed to swallow his words and ducked his head back down, fist clenching in his lap where he thought Mace couldn't see. Biting back a sigh, Mace laced his fingers together across his knee and said, I've always found the satisfaction of solving a difficult problem wonderful myself, Padawan. When there was no reply and John made no other movement save breathe, Mace closed his eyes for a moment, gathering himself. I would more than welcome you sharing your thoughts with me at any time, Padawan. I will not stifle your interests and will hopefully be able to encourage them instead. I am not the type of master to demand silence from my Padawans in the comfort of their own home. Do you understand? Teeth worrying at his lip, John took a moment to think to himself before answering. Yes, Master. A blush crossed the boy's cheek at the pride Mace pushed through their bond, and he stared at his work, jaw working. He cleared his throat and shuffled his flimsy again, searching for a page that he placed on the side of the table closest to Mace. He leaned forward and pulled it closer with two fingers, looking over the question John had clearly copied from Master Carrick. Eyebrows raised despite his best efforts, Mace glanced over the work John had already done on the page. From the looks of it, he was almost done with the problem. Pushing the page back across the table where John was fidgeting, while trying not to make it too obvious, Mace smiled at him. This is one of Master Carrick's more advanced questions. He must be pleased with the progress of your class, Padawan. Have you had any difficulties figuring it out? A flash of pleased surprise blinked across their bond, and Mace very carefully did not react. At his lack of response, John relaxed and began pulling his other sheets of flimsy out, words spilling from his lips as he started to explain his process. Mace sat and nodded along with John's explanations, mentally taking in the fact that this was the most he'd heard John speak at once. Some time passed, the two of them discussing the problem, Mace gently prodding John into answering when he seemed to falter. The grumbling of a stomach brought them out of their discussion, and John blushed heavily, curling into himself slightly as his stomach growled. Glancing at the clock on the wall, Mace grimaced. My apologies, Padawan. I had not realized how late it had gotten. Would you like to eat here or in the refectory? John eased up from his slouch when there was no apparent comment to be made about his clear hunger, and he watched Mace warily from his seat. He swallowed, and like every other night since Mace had begun to ask, he answered, Here, please, Master. Mace merely nodded and stood, pulling some ingredients from the cupboards to prepare a simple dish. John took the time as he cooked to clear the table of his classwork, neatly stacking it and bringing it into his room, as the food popped and hissed on the cooktop. Dinner was quiet, and as they neared the end, Mace decided now was the time to ask what he had wanted to suggest since his walk back. Clearing his throat, he wiped his mouth with his napkin and looked at John across the table. John, you have been in the temple for some time now, and I hope you've become more comfortable living here. If you have, I was wondering if you would be willing to begin learning some of the tasks a council Padawan is responsible for. Face blank, John froze over his plate. Mace could feel the spike of fear ease as he continued. Whatever had brought that reaction from his Padawan faded, and John shakily put his utensils down. Yes, Master. Mace frowned at the top of his Padawan's head. If you are uncomfortable with the idea, Padawan. Head shooting up, John glared at Mace from across the table. I am not uncomfortable with doing the tasks that a council Padawan should do, Master. Silence settled over the room, and John settled his gaze over Mace's shoulder, his embarrassment over his outburst leaking into the force around them. Mace nodded. All right, we will discuss your new schedule later, and if there is anything that is disrupting your ability to perform in class, do not hesitate to say, Padawan. Yes, Master. John met his gaze for a moment before dropping it back to his plate. The rest of dinner passed in silence. I need more practice, Obi-Wan said. You know that practicing on bruises and bruises alone won't help me practically in the future. John looked down. He could just make out the faint silver scars on his own knuckles, could imagine the thick scar tissue on his chest. Dark Woman had made him practice on many things. Bruises weren't ever one of them. She believed much more fully in a trial by fire. The thing was, John had leapt at the chance of showing Obi-Wan the tunnels beneath the temple. Deppa was nice and had come to take him on outings several times since the first. She'd shown him Coruscant beyond the temple. They'd gone out to eat and practiced city maneuverability, and his sister Padawan was nice. Talking to her wasn't as easy as talking to Obi-Wan, but the words didn't stick in his throat quite as much around her. The lines around Master Windu's eyes softened the more time they spent together. His own version of a smile. When Deppa showed him the underbelly of the temple, just as Obi-Wan asked for healing lessons, John had been above all relieved. Healing wasn't training the way that shadow walking was. Shadow walking was brutal and nauseating to learn, but the point of it wasn't pain. John couldn't stop feeling like the point of healing was pain, especially since they were temple-bound and racking up nothing worse than a nasty bruise. John hadn't gone this long without bleeding in his entire life. Obi-Wan was asking John to hurt him. On purpose. John wanted to curl up. Wanted to hide. Master Windu wouldn't approve of this. Hell, John didn't approve of this. But Obi-Wan's eyes were shining, and his dark circles were so big, and John swore that his cheekbones were getting even more hollow. Obi-Wan said his master wasn't hurting him. Master Jin clearly wasn't helping him either. They'd spent weeks beneath the temple, refining shadow walking, exploring. John almost thought he could call what they did playing. This wasn't playing. This was... John. But if it helped Obi-Wan, if it made the light come back into his eyes, made him feel safe... John, are you all right? How could he refuse? John swallowed. He stared at the training mat between them. They were sitting cross-legged, knees almost touching. The weight of Obi-Wan's stare was heavy on the top of his head. John refused to look up. If we're going to do this, John said quietly, then it won't be open wounds. I won't scar you intentionally. He couldn't, not when he was a patchwork of a person himself. Obi-Wan already had scars. He'd seen some of them. Giving his first and only friend more was unacceptable. But please, John's voice cracked. He felt small, insignificant, like he was going to shake apart. It was hard to keep his breaths long and deep. He'd felt like this before, sometimes, and Dark Woman had never been amused. Please, Obi-Wan, I can't. Criff. A hand landed on his shoulder and tugged. John tumbled forward, surprised, and smashed his face into Obi-Wan's chest. I'm so sorry. You're okay, John. You're all right. Just breathe. The other Padawan sounded frantic, almost scared. John couldn't stop shaking. I shouldn't have asked. We don't have to do this if you don't want to. You're okay, John. Obi-Wan was warm. That was all John could focus on. He didn't know when his hands had lifted enough to clench in his tunic, but John found that his knuckles hurt with how tight his grip was. Obi-Wan's chest was warm, and his arms wrapped around John weren't too tight or too soft. Everything in him spun to a halt. His mind went quiet, still. The shaking stopped. Was this a hug? John couldn't remember getting one of those before. Not ever. But this was nice. He leaned into Obi-Wan more. In the back of his mind, Dark Woman muttered something about attachment and emotion, but with a strength John didn't know he possessed, he ignored her. Obi-Wan was safe. John was safe with him. The other Padawan didn't move, just let John cling to him like he was a child. End of chapter 9.